Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. And the neighbor is clearly defined, for we are members one of another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. We're down to the nitty-gritty of Christian behavior. Don't bother to talk about putting away lying unless you're willing to speak the truth. Some people think you're good if you don't do things. No, you're just nothing. You don't accomplish anything not lying. Unless you speak the truth. And it's very specific to his neighbor. And I said the other night, I'm not telling you to lie to other people. I'm just saying, I teach the word as it comes out. There's a prioritizing going on here, a preeminence of importance that you speak the truth to the members of the body. I've covered that. Get the other previous festival if you want my comments there. I spent a long time on that subject. The most important part of what I was saying is Paul starts with this. You know, the fundamentalists are so hung up on sexual sins, they fulfill the psychological principle that you express the greatest overt hatred toward that which you are covertly guilty of. And I must say that fundamentalists sure prove that about sex. Be angry and sin not. Nothing wrong with being angry. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. One of my staff members said in the garage the other night, you know, our pastor has an advantage. Now that we're worldwide, the sun never goes down. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that's to hold steal no more. Well, I don't steal. Well, you probably don't work very hard either, you lazy praying mantis. Pretty generally speaking, I've hated to hire some Christians. They're so worthless. I went to Bible school with them before I left to go to university. They wanted to pray when study hour came. They didn't want to work. They want the Lord to supply their needs. I've already been on that too, so you can get that some of that. Working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Thank God, I got people in this church work double shifts so they can give more to God. And they're always talking about giving to those that need it. Every time we take one of our annual participation journeys with a local charity, it's my people that always lead the way in the giving. They have a giving spirit. They give to God who doesn't need it. They give to people that need it too. And then I say we get to this one. This is my favorite subject. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's got old Scott boxed in with his dams and his hells and worse. I cuss pretty good. I'm really good at that. I probably could win a medal. And that's exactly what the traditions will tell you this means. Well, it's the word sapros. Now, I can tell you this, there's nothing ever comes out of my mouth that proceeds from a sap. You can just know that, do a pun on the Greek. The words used only here and two other places, both of them in Matthew, for rotting figs and dead fish, where he cursed the fig tree and where fish are pulled into the net that are rotten. And furthermore, it's not enough to just, I'd wash my mouth with soap before I'd say a damn or a hell. Here come the legalists. But they're full of corrupt communication. And even if they won't say a damn or a hell, they don't make sure that their mouth track displaces corrupt communication by making sure that that which is good to the use of edifying, ministering grace unto the hearers. I can tell you, I minister grace when I cuss somebody out. They get unmerited favor, they ought to be killed. After I get done joking about this a while, I'm going to get down to the business. I'm going to camp a while on this subject. I'm tired of the church world being craftily twisted into self-righteousness because they don't understand what this word corrupt communication means and what it's supposed to be displaced with. You see, I'm in the area of my training here. Philosophy deals with words, but more than that, it deals with meaning. We learn to distinguish words which are simply symbolic vehicles. They are symbolic vehicles that have varying degrees of meaning. Reportive meanings are what, given any social group, the majority of them would instantly, without thinking about it, write down as the meaning of a word when you use it. Now let's take the F word. The reportive meaning of the word. I got in my pocket one of the most amazing pieces of literature I've ever seen. I could not. There ain't no way on earth that I could read it on TV. It's the S word. S is a powerful word. Just think of all the concepts and ideas you can communicate with it. Indeed, S blank may be the most useful word in the English language. I think the A-H word is, but the S word. Consider, you can be S-faced. Be S out of luck, or have S for brains. With a little effort, you can get your S together. Find a place for your S, or decide to S, or get off the blank. You can smoke S, buy S, sell S, lose S, file S, find S, forget S, or tell others to eat S, and die. Now, that's reportive meaning of words, because at first glance, you think 100 people would agree on what the S word means, right off the bat. And we have, you know, as we raise our children, we have all different levels of explaining the S word. And then you go see one of these dour-faced doctors, and they use the word, the S word, spelled differently. They say stool. has the same reported meaning. We all know what it is. Until you stop and think about it and expand the reported meaning, and it means all these things. You can ask and go blind. Have an ass fit. Or just ask your life away. People can be ass-headed, ass-brained, ass-blinded, and ass-over. Some people know their ass while others can't tell the difference between ass and shinola. Now that's reported meanings of words. You know, every one of these, there's a pretty general agreement on what those words mean. Now the legalist says you can never use that word. I mean, they have some real, growing up in the church, I could give you some absolute purified substitutes. Some of the funniest words in the world. I'm telling you, I had cold chills go all over me as a young Pentecostal boy growing up the first time I was told somebody was going to a hockey game. Because I had always been taught that that was the proper word to use as I was a boy in place of the S word. Now, if you come out of a Latin heritage, I'm not sure. It's a K word, two Ks, that the Spanish used for the word. Now, if you have not been trained in Spanish, you think it's okay to teach little kids to don't say the S word, say this word, because that's the fundamentalists that can't speak Spanish have figured out it's okay to say the word that with the two K word. It has a vowel after each of the K's. The first vowel in the enumerated group. If you add that vowel after K, you can. It's okay to say it. You wash the kid's mouth out if you hear him say the S word. Quite properly, I think, until he grows up enough to know the dignity and widespread applicability of that word. It is sort of abusing it to use it without training. Or we get even more cleansed when we just use the word potty. But the visual image is the same. These are reportive words. Etymological meaning of words is what the word would have meant reportively in the group that first used it. So, you know, there's a certain dignity to tracing a word to its etymological roots, because languages like the Sanskrit and the Greek are built up on roots that come out of, it is assumed, original primitive expressions, like a baby who says mama, and pretty soon that enters the language as the affectionate word for mother. Roots. And languages that build upon roots, and the Greek is one. It is very important to know the etymological meaning of the word and to trace it the way it changes. As I preach today, I noted the contrasting change between Old English, where to let was to restrain, and it's now changed to where to let is to allow. Words are just vehicles, instruments of communication, symbols of meaning. Hand signals are the same, like the good old American eagle. You all know that there are certain words that if you say with a smile to only your best friend or your best enemy can call you that. I mean, your best friend or your worst enemy. My suggestion is you do not ever, walking down some dark alley, do not ever walk up to a large black man or a black woman and use the MF combination. Yet, in their affectionate interchange, it's one of their favorite communicative words. In fact, having had valued friendship relationships with people in that verbal culture, which is very rich, I don't feel I'm accepted until I'm an MF. You move out of that culture and try it on a Latin man, you're going to be on the ground, even if it's your friend. That's emotive meaning of words. Another level. The word really communicates when the emotive meaning on both sides is the same. And the same words, it isn't just Chinese that changes the meaning with tone, though theirs is a bit more graphic. I've told you the story of the missionary that was running all over the town in his first assignment trying to find his dog, saying, "My dog, where is it?" But the dialect, the meaning of the same word changed with the tone. And he was hitting the wrong tone. And he was saying, "My nose, where is it?" And wondering why everybody was laughing instead of helping him find his dog. I've told you the story of the Sunday school kid that drew pictures of the Sunday school lesson, showed God in a convertible driving Adam and Eve out of the garden. And you can imagine what they drew for the scripture, David slept with his fathers. The kid that came home hating the wicked flea. The wicked flea, F-L-E-E, not the F-L-E-A. Words have multiple meanings. They are instruments of communication. The legalist decides the S word will never go out of his mouth. Self-righteous. Don't offend your conscience, but don't be a judge either. I've said since I've been here, you live your convictions. Preach Christ. But don't peddle ignorance as the interpretation of God's word. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Rutherford said, "Thank God for the hammer, the file, and the fire." Recognizing the hand of God on the hammer, the file, and the fire to mold him and to shape him. And nothing like a good blowtorch to shape somebody. Because I watch some TV evangelists smile all the time. How could they ever get a man to do anything? You can throw S, sling S, catch S, or duck when the S hits the fan. You can take a S, give a S, keep S, or serve S. You can find yourself in deep S or be happier than a pig in S. There are lucky S's and dumb S's, crazy S's and sweet S's. There's bull S, dog S, cat S, bird S, whale S, rat S, and eagle S. There's tough S, hard S, soft ass, slimy ass, rough ass, and limp ass. You can S a blue streak, S bricks, S marbles, or S your guts out. Now, I want to prove something. I'm edifying you this afternoon with this S word. I'm making you feel real good. Some days are colder than S. Some days are hotter than S. Some days are just plain S-y. There is funny S and sad S, bad S and good S. Some S doesn't think while other things... just look like S. Some music sounds like S. Things can feel like S. You can be faster than S or slower than S. Sometimes you find S on a stick. Sometimes you find S everywhere. And then there are times you can't find any S at all. You could even making me feel good. You can have too much S, not enough S. The right S, the wrong S, and a lot of weird S. You ain't ever going to get this from another preacher, I'll tell you that. Somebody called in and says, well, what preacher could sit there and teach the Bible with happy birthday, go buy me a gift, hat on? I'm only half through this. You can carry S in a bucket, put S in a barrel, have a mountain of S, a river of S, and find yourself up S Creek without a paddle. You can slice S, spread S, just dump S, and some people can't cut the S. There's fun S and dull S, silly S and serious S. Sometimes you really need this S, and sometimes you don't want any S at all. You can stir S, kick S, and S on the world. Sometimes everything you touch turns to S, and other times you can swim in a lake of S and come out smelling like a rose. I keep proving, I'm edifying you. I mean, some highfalutin, self-styled, stinking, hypocritical Pharisee can come along with his nose tilted up like he's smelling ass all the time and condemn you for being very eloquent, with your words accomplishing a very edifying purpose. And they make you feel like a snake. Now here, with the S word, I made everybody feel good. The point I'm making is the purpose. The effect of the words and the motive behind the use of the words. And don't get bogged down in legalism, because the word is dead fish and dead figs. Words that come from a dying, corrupt state of being whose only intent is to spread more of itself. Death, rotten, corruption. I've been in fundamentalist churches where they would gather and never use the S word for anything. And I'm not recommending that you do it. But every word out of their mouth is designed to tear somebody down, destroy them, criticize them, and produce death. You want me to continue? Get on telephone.